We present My Music. A new musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiner. And here to introduce the two teams is your chairman, Steve Race.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of My Music. Our two teams comprise, on the one hand, David Franklin and Frank Muir, and on the other hand, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. So, without further preamble, or even ado, let's go straight into round one. Listen, please, with ears akimbo to this round, because you won't have much time to identify the musical composition concerned. You'll just hear a chord or two, or a bar or two, from the opening of a well-known classic. And I want you for two marks to identify the piece and its composer. First of all, David Franklin.
It's piano concerto.
Yes.
It's piano with an orchestra.
Yes.
They're playing a piece called a piano concerto. Written,
yes,
by a composer who wrote pieces like piano concerti by the name of Grieg.
What key would you like?
Well, what have you got?
I've got A minor.
I was going to say A minor.
Yeah, fair enough.
You want me to transpose it?
Very good, and such a lovely crisp answer, too. Two marks. Dennis Norton, listen to this.
It's the Beethoven Moonlight Sonata.
Yes. Two marks. Ian, here's the bit of music for you to listen to. I should warn you, that isn't Grieg's piano concerto.
No, I didn't think it was.
No, you were right not to.
Well done, Ian.
Thank you, yes. Nothing like a musical education. Particularly as I never had one. Studied law. But something tells me that that's a violin concerto.
Yes.
And something also tells me that it could have been written by a fellow called Tchaikovsky.
It could, but wasn't. I'm afraid no.
It's a violin concerto.
Sorry, you get one mark for that. It's the beginning of Mendelssohn's, I'm afraid.
So it is.
Yes, so it is. E minor. Right, Frank Muir, listen very closely.
It's a national anthem.
Do you know? You can have it again if you'd like it.
Yes.
Yeah. Have it again, please. That one.
It's the wedding march.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yes. Well, it's when they come out of the vestry.
Oh, by the vestry door. Yes.
Yes.
It's composed by
Mendelssohn.
Yes. The only tune I know, incidentally, you can recognise just from the first chord only, from Mendelssohn's Incidental Music to A Midsummer Night's Dream. You get two marks there. In the next round, I'm going to ask you to use your imaginations. It's this way. Many of today's composers write what we call mood music for use in atmospheric films or radio or TV plays. The titles are a good indication of what the composers think they might be used for. Robert Farnon, to take an example, wrote a piece called Broad Canvas, which is ideal, musically speaking, for the windjammer kind of film. I'm sure you get the idea. I have four examples here, one for each of you, and I want you to see what sort of a vision they conjure up. In fact, can you get near to the composer's own title? David Franklin, what title would you give this?
There's this mortuary. The door opens and in walks a monster, his hands reeking with blood. He goes up to one of the corpses, finds a knife in his pocket and plunges it into the heart of the corpse. My title for this piece is fun in the dissection room.
That's very good. Would you care to hazard a guess at what month it took place in?
Just
quickly. What month it took place in?
It was a foggy night in November.
That's incredible, because the... In fact, it's really uncanny. The piece is called November Fog. And he was not privy to this, I assure you. November Fog, it was called. Incredible, that marvellous. 2 marks, David. Dennis, the title for this, please.
I tell you what it puts in mind. It puts in mind one of those rather dull short films you see before the big film. And the man is saying, nesting in a fold of the Cotswold villages, as our camera traverses this beautiful scene, we see that time has touched it but lightly. Nevertheless, they are working for export and are making ferrules for shooting sticks in these little thatched cottages. It's a kind of travelling, I would call it, Cotswold Stroll.
Yes, you get your 2 marks. The piece, just for the record, was called Sewing Circle.
I can only say those 2 marks, pure charity.
Yes. I really think your title was better than the composer's, buddy. Ian Wallace, here's one for you to give a title to.
Well, various things come into one's mind. One feels that the composer was influenced to some extent by Sullivan and the Mikado, because I can hear behind that. That. So there's a sort of Japanese flavour to it. And it's a Japanese computer. It's probably a computer to do with insurance, because they do all your insurance things nowadays through a computer. That's why they all arrive with inaccuracies on them. And they say this is because the computer is no better than the 2 17-year-old girls who feed it the information. So my title for that would be No Claim Bonus in Tokyo.
I think I must knock one off for the Oriental emphasis. It's more Occidental than that. So I'll give you 1 mark for that. It's actually called January Sales. Frank Miller, here's one for you.
Definitely here, under the influence of drink. It started off in a fairly sort of macrab sort of way. An air of mystery. And there's also an elephantine feeling about it. One would suppose it's Hijinks and the Elephant House.
Oh, yes. Yes, you mentioned drink and things, didn't you? I think your title's better than the composer's. I'll give you 2 for that. The composer's title is Closing Time. A round of questions on general musical topics. For 2 marks, David Franklin, in what opera was Home Sweet Home first sung, and who wrote it?
Is it one of these early 19th century English operas that's now neglected?
Yes, I would say.
And rightfully neglected.
I would say so.
Something like, wait a minute, it's not Maritana.
No.
It's not The Bohemian Girl, but there's another one about that period.
It's even less known, actually.
What?
Even less known than those, yes.
Yes. Is it The Lily of Killarney?
No, that's a fair old guess. No, I have to give you a man, I'm afraid, for this. If you like, I'll tell you the name of the opera and then a mark if you can get the composer. The opera Clary, The Maid of Milan. English words and libretto by the American John Howard Payne. Music by... any idea?
Anon.
No, he wasn't. He was Sir Henry Bishop. And I think he was 19th century, although it doesn't say so here. I think he was. Sorry about that. Dennis, what is the difference between the chorus in an Elizabethan or Shakespearean play and the chorus in a modern musical?
Well, sex, in a nutshell, but sort of functionally, the chorus, and originally the chorus in a Greek play or in an Elizabethan play, in some of Shakespeare's plays, provides a sort of commentary on the action and narrates some of the kind of bridge passages of the action as well. And then the chorus became sort of... first of all, they restocked our aristocracy later. Then they became the tired businessmen thing, but now that we don't... our businessmen aren't so tired because there isn't the business around. They're now girls who sing and dance and go and study method acting in their spare time and are appallingly virtuous.
Oh, I wouldn't know about that. Did you get two marks for the answer anyway? Ian, which opera by which composer marked the first great landmark in the history of opera?
You wouldn't mean Gluck. That was a great landmark. You mean earlier than Gluck, do you?
I'll give you a mark for thinking of such an early composer. Yes. I don't mean Gluck, in fact, no.
You mean something nearer 1600?
Yes, 1607 to be exact.
The opera, I think, was Orfeo.
Yes.
And Gluck also wrote Orfeo, but this was somebody with a name like Rubini or some such name like that of the Italians.
Well, right? this was the Verdi who came from the mountains.
Right? Oh, Monteverdi.
Monteverdi, yes. Orfeus, I've got here, Orfeus Monteverdi, performed in Mantua in 1607. So very erudite of you to know. I think I just must give him two marks, gentlemen.
Oh, very good.
Yes, two marks. Very good. Frank Muir, what is a bombardon?
A very noisy affair, indeed. It's isn't it a double bass euphonium?
Very good. Do you wish to say any more?
Not if it's very good.
No, it's very good. Brass people talk about the double B flat bombardment. You're quite right. Yeah. Two marks. Well, now we have a round entirely devoted to opera. For three marks, I want the name of the aria, the title of the opera, and the name of the composer. David.
I know that for such misfortune there is no consolation but the choice.
That wasn't David Franklin singing, but it's now David Franklin telling us what it was.
Well, David Franklin points out there was apparently not an aria, but a duet. Either that or was there a very remarkable anatomical change in the singer. Let's not go into that. And you know, I haven't a clue what it is.
Puccini? No?
But what opera is it?
Butterfly.
And bless my soul.
Pinkerton's Farewell. Saying farewell, presumably, to a tenor. By the end of it. Well, no marks there, I'm afraid.
I didn't know that.
Dennis, here's an operatic aria for you.
Thank you.
listeners to that all day, but we have to stop there and ask Dennis what it was.
I think it would be necessary for me to listen to it all day. I must point out to listeners that not only is Ian Wallace a very fine singer, he has magnificent handwriting as well. I will read. Boheme, Puccini, an Italian phrase crossed out, and underneath it, they call me Mimi.
Did you read out Puccini with an R? P-R, Puccini, does that mean?
No, 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 you cannot. You can't even fault him on spelling. No.
I was faulting you on reading, actually.
And you see, the Italian phrase that I'd crossed out was one fine day. I was going to read it as one fine day.
Ian's also very honest, isn't he? They call me Mimi from La Boheme by Puccini. 3 marks for that. Ian, here's your turn, and let's see if Dennis can write this one down for you.
I'm going to go and have a smoke during this.
Has drawn it.
This is not one of the operas I've ever perpetrated anything in, but it is the Anvil Chorus. Mm. That much I know. And
where did it come from?
Well, I would say it came from Faust, but I think I would be wrong, in which case it comes from Trovatore.
That's a very good way of getting marks out of me, isn't it?
And if it's by Trovatore, it's undoubtedly by Verdi.
Or words to that effect, yes. The Anvil Chorus is just very, you so rightly said, from Il Trovatore. Frank Muir, here's one for you to identify.
Well, we've had a little chat here. Well, that nice music was on. We are of the impression that it's a soldier's chorus from Faust by Gurno.
Il
Gurno.
Il Gurno, the Italian.
Buongiorno.
Not his condition of health. Just his
Gurno.
No, isn't
it? Well, I'll give you the three all the same, yes. Gurno, you're quite right when you said Gurno.
Your singer's got a cheaper pen than mine.
Now, Frank said Gurno with such tremendous conviction. Let the name be changed in all the books from now on.
In this round, you're going to hear some tunes you'll probably recognise at once. But what I want is not the title of the popular version. It's the title of the serious piece from which it's taken. David Franklin, listen to this.
I've got this wrong. That's the popular song, is it?
No, we're listening to the classical piece.
And what is all this business about pop stuff?
It is a pop. Where have you been? I'm always chasing rainbows. It has a brief period of glory.
Frank whispered into my ear just now, it's Mendelssohn, it always is.
Or Tchaikovsky. Mm.
No, Mark.
I don't think it's either.
Oh,
that was my delayed action bomb, that was. I think it's Chopin.
Crafty, yes. Chopin's what in what?
Ah, well, now we've got to start on that. Frank thinks it's a nocturne.
Nocturne and the old cat. Really? It's the only one I know.
And do you agree with him?
Well, half of me, they see the two possibilities. Could be a nocturne, it could be an etude.
Am I allowed to step in now and tell you you've got no marks at all?
But I got Chopin.
Well, yes, you get one. It's Chopin's Fantasy Impromptu in C-sharp minor, opus 666.
I was going to get round to the Fantasy Impromptus later on.
No, you weren't. Only one, anyway, I think. Right, one mark for that, and jolly lucky, too. Dennis, listen to this.
This is very strange, actually, because just before the programme, I was talking to Ian, who's going over to America to talk about a musical which was written by going to be written by the same people who wrote Kismet. And this one they're going to do was Saint-Saëns. And he said, the same people who wrote Kismet. And I said, who was that based on? He said, Borodin. So as of about, 20 minutes ago, I happen to know that that was borrowed from Borodin.
Yes, borrowed in 1950, to be precise, for the show Kismet. But what was the title of the original piece, please?
Well, we didn't... Then they said... Hey, you're on. Yes, wait a minute. The writing on the Prince Igor.
Yes, the Polovtsian dances from Prince Igor. Good enough. Two marks. Ian, I don't know if you're appearing in a version of this, but here's the music for you to listen to.
I tell you, somebody did a whole... It was Beethoven. I don't know this myself, but I heard it on a radio program.
That's very helpful because I'm at what's laughingly described at a loss here.
Don't know. I think
no, I don't
know. No, I don't blame you. It's the theme from the second movement of the Sonata Pathétique by Beethoven. So you get your one mark for Beethoven. Ken Jong's song was called More Than Love. Frank, here's one for you.
Hit me. Hello, Father.
Try the Dance of the Hours.
Dance of the Hours. Mr. Reyes, yes, Dance of the Hours.
Are you submitting that as being the answer or just trying it on to see how I look at you?
Both.
Two marks, yes, Dance of the Hours. You know, of course, who it's by.
Yes, hang on.
Ponchielli.
Isn't this his chap? Ponchielli.
Ponchielli with a curse. Yeah.
Ponchielli
from La Gioconda. You get your two marks. And we move on. We want you to listen now to some old traditional airs played by Graham Daly on the Mellotron. For three marks, I want the teams, each of them, to make an attempt at singing the words of the songs they'll hear. David Franklin, here's yours. Very, very jolly indeed. David.
Whoever picks these folk songs in this series... with diabolical ingenuity, picks tunes that I've never heard of. What is that?
It's the Lass of Richmond Hill. On Richmond Hill there lives a lass more bright than May Day morn, whose charms all other maids surpass, a rose without a thorn. No marks.
Well, I never met her.
Richmond's Yorkshire, not Richmond, Surrey.
Oh, well, that accounts for it.
Ah, yes. And, no marks, I'm afraid. Dennis, we ask you to sing this, please, having heard it played.
But there ain't a lady living in the land as I'd swap for my dear old dad.
Yes.
No, no. Oh.
You don't need more of this.
Most affecting. Three marks, yes. Ian, here's yours. Well,
Come, lasses and lads, take leave if you dance. That's all the words I know. Da dum da 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 dum da 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 da.
3 marks. Well, 2 to be precise. For every fair, what? Every fair has
somebody's
a sweet
standing
there.
By.
The fiddler's standing by. For Willie shall dance with Jane, and Johnny has got his Jones. So trip it, trip it, trip it, trip it, trip it up and down. I think they got money for these lyrics. Anyway, you get 2 out of 3 of them. Frank, here's the one for you.
Burr, Jan Stewart, Peter Gurney, Peter Davey, Donald Whitten, Ali York, old Uncle Tom Cobley, and all. Uncle Tom Cobley, and all.
Chum, chum.
Tom Pierce, lend me thy grey mare. Eld along, down along, eld along, Lee. For yes. I would so go to a Widdicombe fair with the aforementioned company.
Marks. That's not Widdicombe, Yorkshire, of course, is it? That's
Widdicombe. Nor Widdicombe, Surrey.
3 marks. And that, I'm afraid, brings us to the end of this edition of My Music, in which Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden have won by 3 marks.
Taking part in My Music with David Franklin, Dennis Norden, Frank Muir, and Ian Wallace. The chairman was Steve Race. At the Mellotron was Graham Danish. The questions were compiled by Edward J. Mason. And the program, which was recorded, was produced by Tony Shryan.